Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Thursday class, February 15, 2024, 1 John.
Hello. I thought I was a bomber getting ready to take off. And now there's nothing.
I think we're making an adjustment here. Say again? Yes. A couple times. Let's try it again and see what...
Nothing. I bet it's...
Yeah, it had to go up pretty high. Try that again.
Hello? Hello?
A little bit of reverb. Yeah. I can borrow actually just the battery pack. Yeah, take that off there. Test 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 3, 2, 1, test. How's that sound? Good? Okay. That's on now. I'll let you put that on first.
This needs to be all done before I get over here.
Yes, sir.
All right, ready for takeoff. Every day is God's got something. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, we are studying in Thursday night the greatest epistle that teaches the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. And the ultimate objective of living the spiritual life is to have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. And there's nowhere in the Word of God where this is taught and clarified in a greater way than in 1 John. So in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for one more day of freedom in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we witness, Father, the wheels coming off the wagon in Client Nation USA and all over the world, as we witness the apostasy and degeneracy of our Client Nation, we thank you, Heavenly Father, that Jesus Christ controls history. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 1 John chapter 4, let's start the corrected translation at verse 11. Beloved, that is, royal family of God, if God so loved us, impersonal love for all mankind, first class condition, and he has so loved us, all mankind with impersonal love, then we also are obligated. The Greek word ophelo. We also are obligated to keep on loving one another with impersonal love for all. No one has ever seen God, God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. If we love one another with impersonal love for all, God abides in us. We're living the spiritual life. And his love, virtue love, has been brought to completion in us, in our hearts. Verse 13. By this impersonal love for all, we have come to know and to realize that we are abiding in him, living the spiritual life, and he abides in us because he has sent to us his Spirit, the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit, as the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit. Now, 1 John 4:13, combined with what John taught in 1 John 3:24. 1 John 3:24. In fact, the one who keeps, that is, who obeys, who executes his mandates, keeps on abiding, menoing, in him, living the spiritual life. And also he, the Lord Jesus Christ, is abiding in him, makes himself at home in the spiritually mature believer's heart. In fact, by this we have come to know that he, Jesus Christ, abides in us, has made himself at home in our hearts, by the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, whom he, God the Father, has given to us. Given to us because to live and have the divine power to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. It's totally unique to us in the church age. There was no unique spiritual life in the Old Testament. The first person who ever had this unique spiritual life was the Lord Jesus Christ in hypostatic union. When God the Father sent the eternal Son from heaven to earth on that very first Christmas, the greatest miracle the world will ever know, Jesus Christ took on true humanity. And at his physical birth, he was not only indwelt by the Spirit, he was filled with the Spirit 100% of the time. The very first member of true humanity to have the indwelling and filling of the Spirit. And he lived the unique spiritual life, and then he passed on that spiritual life to his royal family. All of the church age saints in dispensation church age, from Pentecost to the rapture. Now we have the same unique spiritual life. And so at salvation, the moment of faith in Christ, we are indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. And we are also filled with the Spirit. We never lose the indwelling of the Spirit, but when we make bad decisions to sin, we lose the filling of the Spirit. And then God in grace has provided a provision, problem-solving device number one, rebound, so that we can get back into fellowship with God, back into the filling of the Spirit, back into our spiritual life, and then live this unique spiritual life of the church age and accomplish the ultimate objective, which is to have virtue, love brought to completion in our hearts. And that includes three parts. First of all, the great motivational virtue, personal love for God the Father. And that great motivational virtue motivates impersonal love for all mankind. And then the third part, occupation with Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. We're only here a short time, as we learned last night in our Wednesday night class. We're in a tent. We're living in a tent. Our home is very, very temporary. We're here today. We're gone tomorrow. We're in a temporary tent now, a human body. At physical death, we'll be in an interim body, and at the rapture, in our resurrection body. But in that short time while we are here, you are here to make decisions. What are you going to do with the freedom that God has given you? God has given you freedom. God has given you volition. And you have you're free to succeed, and you're free to fail. And we have, unfortunately today, most Christians are using their freedom to crash and burn, to fail. They're using their freedom to live in Satan's cosmic system. They're using their freedom to live in interlocking systems of arrogance. They are self-centered, preoccupied with themselves. Everything is more important except God and the Word of God. And in they're living in cosmic two interlocking systems of hatred, and they have antagonism and hatred toward the Word of God, antagonism and hatred toward Bible doctrine, and that results also in antagonism and hatred toward God. And they have made themselves the enemies of the cross of Christ. And these are Christians. These are believers. Well, we live in a great, great dispensation. All the great believers in the Old Testament, there are a lot of great ones. Moses, great. Jeremiah was great. Isaiah was great. Joel was great. David was great. None of them had the unique spiritual life of the church age. None of them had the universal indwelling of the Spirit and the filling of the Spirit. The only thing a few of them had the endowment of the Spirit to carry out a specific task. But they had no idea what it was to be indwelt and filled with the Spirit, empowered by God the Holy Spirit to live a unique spiritual life. You see, you are truly, truly blessed. Truly blessed. And to whom much is given, much is expected. And yet what are we doing as believers? Everything else is more important than living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. I love 1 John. We're in chapter 4. There's only, then next is chapter 5. No, there is no chapter 6. But this has been a phenomenal study, and we're right in the middle of the best of the best. Taking 1 John 3:24 and 1 John 4:13 together, it is clear that the Apostle John regards God the Holy Spirit as the person within us who can make evident the inward abiding of God, the reality of living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. And how does he do this? He does this by having virtue love brought to completion in our hearts. And then our personal love for God the Father motivates our impersonal love for all mankind. Since God is infinite virtue love, and he revealed his impersonal love for all in Operation Grace, the cross, he commands us to have impersonal love for all mankind. This impersonal love for all can only be produced in us by God the Holy Spirit. When this impersonal love for all is produced in us, the Holy Spirit is manifesting the reality of God abiding in us. That is to say, the living and true God, the God of infinite virtue love, is loving all mankind through us, by the power of the Holy Spirit. When we manifest impersonal love for all, we can know that the living and true God is abiding in us, that we are living the spiritual life. Impersonal love for all is the great demonstration that we are abiding in God and God is abiding in us. Impersonal love for all is the overt manifestation that we are living the unique spiritual life of the church age and that we have had virtue love brought to completion in our hearts. The unique spiritual life of the church age is a gift from God the Father to church age believers only. The church age is the unique dispensation of human history. It is the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. The spiritual life of the church age is a supernatural way of life, and therefore it demands a supernatural power for its execution. God the Holy Spirit is the divine power to live this unique spiritual life. Since God the Holy Spirit is the divine power for this spiritual life, God has given us 4 mandates. Ephesians 5:18. Keep on being pleroed by the Spirit. You have it translated filled. But what does it mean? The Greek word is pleroo. P-L-long-E-R-O-long-O. Plero. This was the word used of a ship. And they had sailing ships, sail. And the wind would fill the sails of the ship and empower it. It would be empowered and move it through the water. So, yes, it says keep on being filled with the Spirit, but the best way is to be translated, keep on being empowered by God the Holy Spirit. In your life, keep on being empowered by the Spirit. Keep on being empowered by God the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, Galatians 5:16, another mandate. Keep on walking by the Holy Spirit. That is, keep on living the spiritual life by the power of God the Holy Spirit. And then we're given two warnings. Ephesians 4:30, stop grieving the Spirit. And another warning, stop quenching the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. It is impossible to live the spiritual life when you are not filled or empowered by God the Holy Spirit. Now, you can never lose the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Even when you're making bad decisions to live in Satan's cosmic system. But you do lose the filling of the Spirit every time you sin. And therefore, the importance of the fantastic grace provision of rebound. God's grace provision to get out of the cosmic system and back into fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and your spiritual life. So, if we love one another with impersonal love for all, this is a visible demonstration that the God whom no one has seen is abiding in us, and His virtue love has been brought to completion in our hearts. We have accomplished the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. No verse in the first epistle of John is more critical to understanding the entire epistle than this verse, 1 John 4, verse 14. 1 John 4:14, we've only exegeted half of it. I'll give you all of it. Indeed, we have seen and bear witness that the Father, God the Father, has sent His Son, His eternal Son. This is the procession of Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, from heaven to earth, on that very first Christmas, the greatest miracle this world will ever know, to carry out and fulfill Operation Grace the Cross, that the Father, God the Father, has sent the Son, His eternal Son, to be the Savior of the world. What is all that? God is infinite virtue love. He loves you with infinite virtue love. He loves the entire world with infinite virtue love. Infinite impersonal love for all. And because He is infinite virtue love and has infinite impersonal love for the whole world, He designed Operation Grace the Cross to send His Son to take on true humanity, to go to a cross, and solve the world's problem of sin. All of that is a demonstration to the whole world that God has impersonal love for all mankind. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And now, God has given us, we are obligated to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, have virtue love brought to completion in our hearts, and to love all mankind with impersonal love for all. Our impersonal love for all is nothing less than God the Father's impersonal love for all mankind in Operation Grace, the cross. Indeed, we, verse 14, indeed, we have seen that the Father has sent the Son. Therefore, when we love one another with impersonal love for all, it is a re-display of God the Father's impersonal love for all mankind in Operation Grace. And that very re-display, that very manifestation of impersonal love for all is also a living testimony to the reality of God the Father's impersonal love to the world in sending His Son, His eternal Son, the Messiah, the Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Turn over to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. Verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Impersonal love for all. Just as I have loved you with impersonal love for all. That you also love one another. Verse 35. And by this, all men will know. All, underline that, highlight. All men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another, impersonal love for all. You see, when you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, and that great motivating virtue of personal love for the Father motivates you to have impersonal love for all, the world sees that. That has great visible impact. Great visible impact. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples. If, here's a condition, if you have love for one another, if you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, if you have impersonal love for all, that has phenomenal, visible impact that the world will see. By this all men will know. We've exegeted half of verse 14. So far in verse 14 we have, indeed, we have seen and bear witness. Two verbs here. The first verb is theaomai, which means to see, to look at, to behold, to perceive. This verb was used for watching Greek drama. In fact, it is the word from which we get our English word theater, comes from theaomai. The perfect tense is the intensive perfect. In the intensive perfect, the emphasis is placed on the existing results of a past action or on a present state or condition resulting from a past action. The middle voice is deponent. That is, it's middle in form, but active in meaning. The indicative mood is declarative, presenting this from the viewpoint of reality and certainty as absolute fact. The conjunction chi is a connective chi, and so it's correctly translated and. And then we have the second verb, bear witness. And that's the verb martureo. Martureo means to bear witness, to be a witness. Literally, it was used of someone who was a witness in court. It always refers to what is true and factual, so that people have information on which to make a decision. It expresses the result of seeing the Father's impersonal love for all in Operation Grace, the cross. The present tense is an iterative present. The iterative present is the present tense of repeated action. The active voice, the believer living the spiritual life, having virtue love brought to completion in his heart and manifesting impersonal love for all, performs the action of the verb. The indicative mood is declarative, seen from the viewpoint of reality. Indeed, we have seen, theaomai, and bear witness, martureo. Now we go on in our exegesis of verse 14. What have we seen and bear witness? That the Father sent the Son. This is the greatest illustration of impersonal love. God's infinite impersonal love for the whole world. That the Father sent the Son. This is the conjunction hati plus the nominative singular of pater with the definite article plus the perfect active indicative of apostello plus the accusative singular of huios with the definite article. Hati, well, oftentimes you've been here long enough, you go, oh, yeah, I know, that's a causal conjunction. Yes, it is sometimes, but not here. Hati. When it follows verbs of decende, verbs of decende, by the way, some of you want to know, how do you spell decende? I want to see how you spelled it. That would be great. There you go, decende, D-E-C-E-N-D-I, in case you can't read my writing. Verbs of decende are verbs of knowing, thinking, saying, seeing like theaomai, bearing witness like martureo. So theaomai and martureo are verbs of decende, and therefore hati is correctly translated that, not because, that. It introduces an object clause, what they are seeing and what they are bearing witness to. And then we have ha pater. This is a definite article, ha, and then p-a-t, long e-r, ha pater. Ha pater is the Father. The Father is the first person of the Trinity, God the Father. God the Father as the author of Operation Grace, the cross. God the Father's great manifestation of impersonal love to the whole world, to all mankind in Operation Grace. Designing the plan of salvation. And then apostello. A P, that's not a P, that's an R. P O S T E L L long O. Apostello. Apostello is the verb that means to send out. God the Father apostelloed ton huion, the Son, His eternal Son, the second person of the Trinity, the procession of God the Son from heaven to earth on that very first Christmas, the greatest miracle the world will ever know is that the Father sent His eternal Son. This is in theology called the procession of God the Son, His eternal Son. Indeed, we have seen and bear witness that the Father, God the Father, has sent the Son, His eternal Son, to be the Savior of the world. This is the accusative singular of soter plus the genitive singular of cosmos with a definite article. Soter looks like that in the Greek, S long O T long E R, soter. Soter means Savior, Deliverer. And then we have cosmos, and you say, I know what that's the cosmic system. Well, sometimes, but not here. K-O-S-M-O-S, cosmos. Now, Satan is the ruler of this world, invented the cosmic system. He invented the cosmic system to rule planet Earth. And he rules all unbelievers. And unfortunately today, he rules most believers as well who make bad decisions and they wind up in Satan's cosmic system. But it doesn't mean that here. Here, cosmos, sometimes it means the world. It means planet Earth. It means all mankind living on planet Earth. And that's how it's used here. Indeed, we have seen and bear witness that the Father, God the Father, has sent the Son, His eternal Son. What was the plan? To be the Savior of the world. One. God the Father is the author of the plan of salvation. Operation Grace. The world is spiritually dead, totally depraved, no damn good. And this is in grace, in infinite, impersonal love for the whole world. God the Father designed the plan of salvation when the world was at its worst. So God the Father is the author of the plan of salvation, Operation Grace, the cross, demonstrating His impersonal love for all mankind. Two, God the Son, in genuine humility, obeyed the incarnation plan of the Father and willingly went to the cross to solve the world problem of sin, demonstrating His impersonal love for all mankind. Because when He was on the cross, He took the sins of the whole world. Unlimited atonement. The sins of the whole world were poured out on Him and judged in Him once and for all. So point two, God the Son, in genuine humility, obeyed the incarnation plan of the Father, and He willingly went to the cross to solve the world problem of sin, demonstrating His impersonal love for all mankind. Unlimited atonement. So again, points one and two. Point one, God the Father is the author of the plan of salvation, Operation Grace, the cross, demonstrating His impersonal love for all mankind. Point two, God the Son, in genuine humility, obeyed the incarnation plan of the Father and willingly went to the cross to solve the world problem of sin, demonstrating his impersonal love for all mankind, unlimited atonement. 3, the plan of God for the believer in the church age, you and me, is to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and have virtue love brought to completion in our hearts so that we might manifest impersonal love for all mankind. The plan of God for the believer in the church age, you and me, is to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, have virtue love brought to completion in our heart, and manifest impersonal love to all mankind. 4, impersonal love for all has visible impact on all mankind. Impersonal love for all has visible impact on all mankind. John 13:34-35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, impersonal love for all, even just as I have loved you with impersonal love for all, that you also love one another. And by this, all men will know visible impact. By this impersonal love for all mankind, all men will know that you are my disciples if, here's the condition, if you have love for one another, impersonal love for all mankind. Impersonal love for all has great visible impact on all mankind. John 13:34-35. 5, invisible God has provided a divine influence, the unique spiritual life of the church age, which is visible. Invisible God has provided a divine influence, the unique spiritual life of the church age, which is visible. Six, through the grace provision of the unique spiritual life for the royal family of God, invisible God has visible influence. Through the grace provision of the unique spiritual life for the royal family of God, invisible God has visible influence. 7. You cannot see God, but you can see his influence in that believer who lives the spiritual life and manifests impersonal love for all. You cannot see God, but you can see his influence in that believer who lives the spiritual life and manifests impersonal love for all. 8. Divine influence becomes visible impact. Did I give you point 8? No, okay, that was point 9. Point 8. Divine influence is manifested through the function of impersonal love for all. Divine influence is manifested through the function of impersonal love for all. 9, invisible influence becomes visible impact. Invisible influence becomes visible impact. Ten, the fulfillment of our impersonal love for all is a testimony that virtue love has been brought to completion in our heart. It's a testimony of our personal love for God the Father, which motivates our impersonal love for all. The fulfillment of our impersonal love for all is a testimony that not only the virtue love had been brought to completion in our heart, but that it's a testimony of our personal love for God the Father, which motivates impersonal love for all. 11, the greatest virtue directed toward mankind is impersonal love for all. The greatest virtue directed toward mankind is impersonal love for all. So again, verse 14, indeed we have seen and bear witness that the Father, God the Father, has sent the Son, His eternal Son, to be the Savior of the world. The greatest demonstration and manifestation of impersonal love for all mankind. Now we go on in verse 15. Whosoever shall confess. Well, that's the King James Version. This not what we have here. We have the relative pronoun host with the conditional particle aeon plus the aorist active subjunctive of homologao. The relative pronoun host, H-O-S, it can refer to and mean who or which or what or that. But here we have the relative pronoun host with the conditional particle aeon. E-A-N, aeon. And when you have host with the conditional particle aeon, it means whoever or anyone. And so we will translate it anyone. The conditional particle aeon plus the subjunctive introduces a third class condition. The third class condition, maybe he does acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and maybe he does not. And so we translate this, if anyone, if anyone, and then we have the verb homologeo. Looks like that in the Greek, H-O-M-O-L-O-O-O, no, G-E long O. Of course, if I just stopped there, some of you would get there. We think we were talking about something else, but it's not. One, homologeo means to declare, to acknowledge, to cite, 2, homologeo is used in our verse as a synonym for pisteuo. It's used here as a synonym for the verb pisteuo. Very important. P-I-S-T-E-U long O. Pisteuo. That's the verb to believe. Here, homologeo is a synonym for the verb pisteuo, to believe, and therefore, point 3, it is a synonym for faith in Jesus Christ, salvation. A synonym for faith in Jesus Christ, salvation. The aorist tense is the culminative aorist, and the culminative aorist, the stress is on the culmination or the consummation of an act or state. Here, the emphasis is on the culmination of salvation, faith in Jesus Christ. First of all, the indwelling of the Godhead. Every single one of you are indwelt by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Every one of you. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit indwells you and is with you every second of every day. When I come home after studying, Debbie will say, well, did you have any people come to the church? And I said, well, no visitors. But I said, I was very busy. I had the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the three of them and me, They spent most of the time, we just talk. And you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit every second of every day. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care if you're going through illness, you're sick, adversity, testing. You have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit with you every single second of every day. What a blessing! What a blessing. You have the best of the best. So, what we have here, first of all, the indwelling of the Godhead. The universal indwelling of the Spirit makes our body a temple for the indwelling of the Shekinah glory, Jesus Christ, and the indwelling of God the Father. All three members of the Godhead indwell us. So first of all, the culmination of salvation, faith in Christ, is the indwelling of the Godhead. The universal indwelling of the Spirit, making our body a temple for the indwelling of the Shekinah glory, Jesus Christ, and God the Father. And second, you have lived the unique spiritual life. You have this unique spiritual life provided for you so that you can live this spiritual life and fulfill the ultimate objective of virtue love brought to completion in your heart. The active voice, the one who believes in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation, performs the action of the verb. The subjunctive mood goes along with aeon to introduce the third class condition. Corrected translation, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, this is the conjunction ha ti plus the nominative singular of Jesus plus the present active indicative of the verb eimi plus the nominative singular of huios with the definite article and the genitive singular of theos with the definite article. Homologeo is also a verb of dicendi, knowing, thinking, saying, acknowledging. And after verbs of dicendi, ha ti is correctly translated that, introducing an object clause, what one acknowledges. And of course, homologeo is a synonym for pisteuo, what one believes in Jesus Christ. And here we have Jesus. I long E-S-O-U-S, Jesus. And Jesus is transliterated Jesus. That doesn't tell you what it means. It's a transliteration, not a translation. It actually comes from the Hebrew verb yashah and the noun Yeshua, which is Joshua. Yashah means to save and to deliver. And that's why in Matthew 1, verse 21, it says, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. There is no definite article with Jesus which emphasizes who and what Jesus Christ is. The God-man, undiminished deity and true humanity, united in one person forever. The Messiah, the Anointed One, the Redeemer, the Savior. And then the verb eimi, the Greek to be verb, means is. The present tense is a nomic present introducing a timeless axiom of Scripture. And the axiom is this. Jesus is the eternal Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. The active voice, Jesus Christ, performs the action of the verb. The indicative is declarative, dogmatic truth of the God-breathed Scriptures. And then we have hahuios tou theo. Hahuios tou theo. There's the definite article, hahuios. H-U-I-O-S, son, another definite article in the genitive, two, and then the genitive singular of theos. And the genitive looks like this. Hahuios tou theo, and that is the Son of God. Corrected translation. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God. And this is a synonym for pisteuo. If anyone believes, has faith in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation, that's what this is saying. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, if anyone believes in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation, and now we have the apodosis, or the conclusion of this third class condition. God dwelleth in him. Well, that's where we'll start next week. I hope that you all are beginning to realize how powerful 1 John is in teaching virtue love in a greater way than anywhere else in the Scriptures. We're not here a very long time, but this is the ultimate objective. You are indwelled by an invisible God. When you have a unique spiritual life given to you. When you live that, that invisible God has divine influence in your life and you manifest impersonal love for all, which has phenomenal, visible impact for mankind to see. And as you fulfill this, you will have that phenomenal, visible impact. It breaks my heart right now that there are so many Christians in America that have no visible impact because they're not living the spiritual life, because they haven't grown up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, because they haven't had virtue love brought to completion in their heart. And so the world doesn't see the visible impact. But that ought to be the result in every one of your lives. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.